Welcome back, everybody. Tom Carroll, Chris Cox, got the coach Dan Spivey. We are the Lakeland Sports Guys coming to you from Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood, where today's special is the cheeseburger special with the fries. I have the Reuben again today. Absolutely. I don't know what it is, but I just have a taste for that.
Monday Reuben, man.
It's a Monday Reuben kind Reuben. Of a thing going on. Last 2 weeks, anyway.
It's high quality meat.
But we're winding down the local sports in and around the area. We're going to start some of it back up here at the end of May to go along with it. We'll tell you about the schedule for Post 20 is out. I'll give you details on that. So we know our league schedule. Now, there's some other games that are going to be added over the course of the next month or so, but we'll run down who our league is and when we're playing and where and when and all that good stuff to go along with it. Got some golf news, huge golf news, as a matter of fact, for Greenwood High. Those boys just know how to play.
And they play consistently together, so that's good, yeah.
Big there. And then we'll talk about what happened with Scotty Scheffler as well. He wins another big one. More in particular, we'll tell you about how much his caddy made since he's been caddying this year for him. And let me just tell you, he's made more than Rory McIlroy has made over the course of this last 3 months.
He's made more than a bunch of them out there on tour. And it all goes back to the 10%. And we never have really – ever been told by PGA Tour if these guys do make a 10% average off what it is. It used to be, and see, now I am mad because now you got me thinking about Nellie Korda looking for a caddy. I didn't get my name in time, and she's won five in a row since she looked for a caddy. And I'm thinking about 10% now of what I could have made. So,
You look at Ted Scott, and he's made, $360,000 the last 2 weeks. He's made, just in those two, the Masters, and then over there in Hilton Head alone. He's made a little over $500,000 as of right now. Of course, over the season with Ted Scott's earnings, and this is what I've got right now, he's $1.8 million he's made over the last 5 months to go along with it. Rory, only $1.7 million so far this season.
Okay, I like what you did with the caddy thing. Look at his overall net worth.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's not caddies out there. Steve Williams would be a guy that I would say that was with Tiger for all these years. Yeah. And has just now gone back to New Zealand and doing his thing. But, yeah, Ted Scott's been with a number of golfers over the years, and he's a really good caddy, and that's what you do. You do your job, and then when somebody drops back, like Justin Thomas is always changing the caddies, and he usually brings his Alabama golf coach on when they're not competitive. And, so he's had to switch up now, and he's got his father-in-law caddy for him, and he doesn't like that. And he's not winning. He's not playing well. His marriage is on the rocks, probably because his daddy-in-law is caddying. So that's what it is. A caddy is, like I said, man, it's weird to see. But Ted Scott's been around for a while, and he's been making –
he's made over $14 million, of course, since he's been with Scotty the last, 4 or 5 years.
And I think – before that, I think he was with a couple of the bigger name players, and that's where you make your money, though. And like I said, he's a really – you can tell he's one of the few guys that you can take to Augusta and trust what Ted Scott says just because of the other guys he's caddied for and his experience in Augusta and Hilton Head now, because I think now he's got another guy that's won Hilton Head. I want to think he was with Rory at one moment since you were talking about Rory, but I think he was Rory's caddy for a minute or two right when Rory first came on, but – like I say, Rory just is not – his iron play has been awful. And, he's hitting the devil out of the ball. But when you can't putt it – and that's what he said last night. He says, I am going to – I gave Scotty Scheffler a putting tip. Maybe I need to go back to Scotty and say, hey, what you got for me? because since he took the tip, he's winning, Tom. He's won 3 or 4 now. And I guess the question I'll have for you and Stan, we'll do it this way. Women's basketball was hot this year when it came down to it. Caitlin, the game, Cox winning a national championship. Who's a hotter golfer now, Scottie Scheffler or Nellie Korda? I'm not just saying money-wise. I'm just saying she's won 5 in a row now. He's won how many in a row?
I think he's won 4.
He's won 4 out of the last 5 tournaments he's played.
Yeah, but he's got a reason to win because he's got that baby on the way, and he's got to get that college fund started. And
I couldn't play
that,
though.
I
can only imagine – because we've all been married, had the kid situation, and not getting any peace. He must have the sweetest wife in the world, dude. Just sit back and say, you make the money, we'll do this. I can get through this child bearing by myself, but you better be here with the check. Because he didn't get the call 2 weeks in a row. I don't think after the Masters, I'd sweating through it, am I going to have to give up a green jacket and get my butt back home? And he didn't. And then I like what he told his caddy. He says, listen, she's already a week, week two, 3 weeks late. Don't worry about it. If it comes now, we'll go when we're done. So they like Hilton Head. He's gone now for 2 weeks, so he will not win the next 2 weeks. I will guarantee you that. And that's the thing is, when he comes back, is he going to stay as hot as he is right now? Or does he have to start over with that new year beginning to be as hot as he is and all the money he's won? I think he will be.
Well, that may give him that little bit of a break that he needs. You know, he may come back after these 2 weeks and just say, I think I'll win me five more in a row.
Well, he'll be coming back at a critical time of a major. I don't even know where U.S. Open is this year, but we do know where in 31 it's going to be, Stan. They're going back to Kiowa. So in 2031, which is a few years away, Kiowa will be the spot of the next U.S. Open.
Oh, my goodness, man. That's a long way.
I was going to say, why even announce it?
Yeah.
So early. I mean, why? I mean.
Well, so you can go ahead and go down there and buy your house on the golf course and get settled in. You got 7 years to get settled in.
You better take Scotty Scheffler and Ted Scott money with you when you do, because Kiowa is a beauty. I actually got to go to that first year that they had that U.S. Open there, and it's a great course. And they brought up a course yesterday that a lot of people never even heard about. It's called Congaree. It's going down toward Beaufort, Port Royal area that I've actually had a chance to drive through. But, Stan, listen to what this tournament is. They have the K&P Classic is what it is. PGA Tour event. Three people live on the golf course. The guy that built it. The guy that's over the greens keeping. And somebody else. Well, it's probably the maid for both of them. But, like I said, you go down there, you go through a gate like you would any, like Augusta National, and then you got very little room for parking. It has a very small clubhouse, which the guy that owns it, he may live in. That might be his house. And it's just a weird PGA Tour event to happen first of the year in January. And you know, you hear about it, and you see a lot of people in Beaufort. Everybody in that area knows it. And you wouldn't even know it was near Ridgeland. It's in Ridgeland is where it's at. So they talked about Congaree yesterday, and I'm like, they're comparing this course to Hilton Head? I wouldn't compare the two, but really beautiful course, just nobody out there, no houses out there. And there again, that could change over the next 40 years too. Might be the next big stop in between Allendale and Augusta and Charleston Beaufort area. But it is a pretty course, though, and I noticed that what's the name did talk about it. And they love doing the tournament there, but I don't even think they actually air that the tournament. They just play it, and they post the scores and never show TV play of Congaree. But you got to have money to get to the gate. That's the first thing you got to do. So if you play it, you got to know somebody.
All right. With that being said, let's move turn more towards the local side here and what's going on in and around the Lakelands. They got a lot of stuff that is happening. We mentioned Greenwood Boys Golf and what they've been able to do and how they have been hot as of recently. Well, they go ahead and they close out tonight. They close out against Greenville, I do believe. But they beat Pickens over the weekend, 153-167 in that one. Adam Knox, phenomenal. 37 is what he shot for nine holes. And then you look at the final scores. Cameron Addis had a 38 to go along with it. So just as impressive as was Bryson McCurry at 39, along with Josh Brown at 39.
Four guys in the 30s. On a high school team, you got some guys. Rory would take that now. Trust me. You got to give Chip Witt the glory on this man, because this is his team. He's built. He's got the players playing really well, and it's just a little bit of everything combined that they're playing together as a team. And it could happen at a more perfect time, because you are getting ready. You should probably head back toward North Augusta, maybe to River Club, and I mean that place is. They've redone the whole 18 green. It's a new green there now, new clubhouse. Well, not new clubhouse, but they have added onto it. And that's where they played. I think that's where they're playing it. So be ready to go back down to North Augusta and do it again.
See what they do. But they got to get by Greenville tonight, though. That'll be out at the links at Stony Point, where they're going to be playing out there. So best of luck to the Eagles as they head out there. The junior varsity, we want to congratulate them as well. Their season, I believe, comes to an end tomorrow. They lost to Aiken over the weekend, 183-195 in this one. But the big gunners were Wells Calhoun, who's a seventh grader, ended up in the medalist round. He shot a solid 41. You also had Hunter DeVrent at a 46, Max Tompkins at a 41, Wells Price had a 57, and Drew Thompson had a 60. So these are the guys of the future that are starting to learn.
Next couple of years, man, be ready because they're coming.
Yeah, but Tuesday, tomorrow, Ware Shoals is where they'll be taking on the Hornets on that field over there. And those places, I've played there twice, and that place is just hard as a rock. I think it was built on a granite cliff is what I think it was. My ball bounced forever every time I shot it.
You never have a level shot. But, I mean, you actually know the pro over there. It's Zach Calhoun from Starport. And Zach has gone over and done a pretty good job. I haven't been up there to play it yet, but they do a lot of clinics up there with Russell and some of those guys in Ware Shoals, and do a really good job with it. Ryan Pitts is the new owner of it, and so they do a really good job up there. Tom, we need to go up there for a podcast and get your clubs out. Well, you can play your persimmons up there. That'd be fine. You need to hit your old clubs.
My clubs are so old.
They would be good up there, though, because, like you say, it doesn't – I got new technology, but it ain't going to hold him green. I'm telling you, Ware Shoals is the place that you can play in the summertime, and you could have a shot from here to Buffalo Grill across Montague, South Main right there. And, I mean, you could hit three wood if you want, and it's not going to stop. So instead of hitting, I'd probably hit like an 8-iron, just let it roll to the tree line and stops. But good course. The greens are really good. I rode by it the other day, and it looks like it's in really good shape. And I didn't expect anything different from Zach when he left Starport to go up there. So and they have really good wing needs if you want to go up there and spend a little bit of money and lose it on Saturday and Sunday. So.
All right. Well, let's say congratulations, region champs for the Emerald Ladies soccer team. They wrapped up the regular region championship by beating Union County 7-0 on Friday. So the Vikings improved to 7-0 in region to go undefeated. They're the number one seed for the playoffs, which is even more important there because they get to stay home. And this is also the fourth clean sheet that Emerald has had to keep in region. So.
I love posting that because, like I said, the only thing I saw when it was posted by Emerald Athletics, the route bus is making the turn in. Not to go to school. It's turning, and they're going to take the long way back up the hill past the softball, baseball fields and stuff like football field. And it was just so cool to do that and see, like, it's at a clean sheet. I know JC's mom and they were proud of what they did.
Yeah, she had four goals on the night.
And, you know, she was already at whatever. As Stan was talking about today, it's just building up the goal count for next year included. So, this is a really good team. And I'm not going to jinx them, but I look for this team to probably go a little pretty good ways into the playoffs.
Looking forward to it. But should be fun tonight. They take on Clinton. It's senior night tonight to close out the regular season to go along with it. Of course, they've already wrapped up the region championship to go along with it. JV starts at 5:30 tonight. Varsity will get underway about 7 o'clock. So,
that sounds good,
big
man.
News there.
Sound it.
And then boys over at Emerald in tennis, they defeated Union County 5-1. Big wins in singles. Brady Lloyd won 6-3, 6-1. And the number three single was Galvin Jenks. He won 6-3, 6-2. Number four, Mason Fazio, 6-1, 6-1 as the number four single. And the number five singles was Tatum Banaka at 6-1 and 6-1. They also won doubles. The number two doubles was Hayden Bell and David Shearer, 6-4, 4-6, 1-0.
A little closer match than the other ones. The other one was what we call routes. But anyway, 6-1, 6-1. Take it all the time in tennis, man. Like I said, the good things going over there. And I can't think of Emerald. I think of my brother John Mark Scruggs, who's still fighting that battle, man. I can't wait till he sounds that horn, man, or rings that bell. We'll be there for it. But like I said, he's doing his chemo now, going through it, man. You got this, brother. I can't wait to get you back at Howard's on Lane. You got to eat a little bit, though.
Well, we wish him the best of luck in going through it. He's spending a whole week going through that chemotherapy as of right now, so our thoughts and prayers are with him as he goes through it. That's tough.
Well, his daughter just posted on Facebook. It made me laugh for a minute because I think of myself a lot of times. He said, yeah, you're giving these nurses the devil up here, but they're taking care of him. Like I said, man, I know that I couldn't get over the fact all weekend on Facebook, that's all you saw, everybody on my page just – sending the prayers out to him, man. And, I mean, if you don't know you love John Mark, you love, bro. I'm telling you. And like I said, Emerald especially, All of his coaches went up there and saw him this weekend. He loved the company and everything. He just told me, you can go up there, Tom, but I got to stay at home. You don't want me up here. So, but anyway, man, anytime you think of Sound the Horn, I think of John Mark and the rest of those coaches over there. And that's why we keep sounding, and I can't wait for you to sound your bell.
Run more. And then the Emerald Viking baseball team, they wrap up their region schedule tonight at Chester. 6 o'clock is for first pitch. That is there. And you can go to the Sound the Horn Network and catch all of that action as well.
Chester should be a fun game.
Should be a good one.
Should be a fun game.
Should be.
I would think. I think that's all I got. No, I don't. I got 96, the Wildcats. Matter of fact, their angler team was busy this weekend, I should say, overall. But there were some folks that were recognized from 96 Wildcats angler team. You had Chaney Gunter and Lily Temples. They were recognized for winning the 23-24 South Carolina Bass Youth Tournament Trailer Junior Bass Master Point Championship.
That's a mouthful.
Should I say that again? Let me try.
That's a large
23-24 South Carolina Bass Youth Tournament Trail Junior Bass Master Points Championship.
And so, some of these are recorded on television, so yeah, that could be a possibility. If not, they'll be on the next couple they have.
So they did well there, so congrats to them. I do have unofficial results from the high school. Wells Schumann and Gentry Long, 3 fish for 12.2 pounds with a big fish for 3.72 pounds to go along with it. So they that we last heard the Junior Bassmasters in middle school. Lily Temples and Chaney Gunter, again, 3 fish for 9.57 pounds with a big fish for 3.53.
That's easy for me because that's 3 fish at 3 to go to 9. So y'all keep it like that. I just trying to think of the 3-pound, man. That's a good size old largemouth bass there, Bo.
So that's some good fishing.
I'm hungering.
Yeah, but I thank the anglers for sending that along to us. Appreciate all the effort that they're giving that we can pass that news along as well. And who would have thought fishing would become a sport in South Carolina?
Skeet shooting, fishing.
It's huge.
Well, you know, I don't even know. I'm sure they probably – I would think Leonard's probably got – I know Erskine does.
Yeah, Leonard does. And of course, we've got two Bassmaster Classic champions that live right here in the Lakelands with Height down there in 96 and Mrs. Casey over in Due West. So little boys have grown up and made plenty of money catching them gnarfish. It can be done.
All right, got some big news from the South Carolina High School League. Want to hear about it?
Oh, yes. No.
Jerome time.
Anytime it's big news, strap them on.
Tomorrow, 9 o'clock, the South Carolina High School League is going to meet as well. It'll be called to order by Jason Warren, who is the president. So Jerome won't be leading it. This is going to be the Executive Committee of South Carolina. Going to hold a special called meeting tomorrow, and this meeting is in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act, of course. So they pass it along to us, so we'll get the details. I'll probably watch it live tomorrow, to tell you the truth. But what it has to do is concerning the playoffs for 5A. They're going to finally figure this out and decide, decide and vote on how they're going to divide this up. We're going to have Division One, Division Two. Are we going to have, top 16, little 32 kind of a thing going on as well? It'll be interesting to see how it goes as far as they go by population or do they go by, regions kind of a thing. I don't know.
I want to go back the way it was. I like the Big 16 type deal. I mean, but it's more than likely it will go the other way, Tom. Just it will probably go by like divisions like you're talking about to get it straightened out. That's really maybe the fairest thing to do. And I don't, when you said to call a meeting like that, I was like, and Jerome wasn't even going to be there. I said, oh, no, they're replacing
Well,
Jerome.
He'll be there. He's just not the one that's going to be running.
I was thinking his seat might be up or something.
and this is where we need to get, you hate to get the politicians involved in it, but this is one case where you have to get them to pass it to where you can add another division and go ahead and add a 6A school bracket and take maybe the top 16. But even if you do that, you still going to end up with, 40-something teams in 5A. So you still going to end up with the same situation where you're going to have 5A eighth championship and a 5A B championship.
Yeah, we remember with the realignment, they got 2 years now to come up with legislation to make that six group, that six classification that is up there. Georgia just got rid of a classification, to tell you the truth, because their numbers got spread out and got a little less down on the 1, 2, 3A, so they moved everything down a section in that regard. But South Carolina definitely needs to move up. We're growing tremendously as it stands right now, and this is just a Band-Aid is all this is, folks.
But to start out, just to get it in legislation to get it started, that's why I said B16, little 32 would be the way I would do it.
Yeah.
Because we've already seen it.
Yeah, it works. We've done it before.
And like I said, if that's what you're looking at doing, I'm not got no problem with it. You're still going to have your region, your graphical regions are still going to be in play. Charleston, I'm still going to say, it's probably going to have 85 more schools being built in the next year. But down there where it's growing crazy, Rock Hill.
Myrtle Beach
and
Buford,
that's where you
go up around Greenville. Yeah. And that's
Simpsonville.
If you don't believe it, just ride through and look. And who would have ever thought that little old Greenwood, South Carolina would have two 4A schools?
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
We're going to 5A and a 4A.
Well,
now.
We're a 5 and 4 now. I keep forgetting that, too.
But I mean, I'm just saying, you're looking at that, but then you look at all the housing that's being built. Are you going to end up with two 5A schools in Greenwood? Or at what point do you build that third high school?
That's what's going to happen, Stan, more than likely.
And try to reduce the numbers at both of those schools.
Stan's got a dilemma on his hands because I'm telling you, they're building all those right across from him, and they're going straight to Gatewood. So sooner or later, he's going to be in the POA at Gatewood. because that's which way it's going, man. It's just crazy to see the amount of growth that we are getting here in town. And after so long of not getting anything, you knock down a couple acres of trees, and you're going to start building some houses and, bringing your town back, so to speak. And, I'll give credit to the mayor and what they're doing here. A lot of people are mad about it.
People don't want to see, we've been known as a green city for so long and the beauty of the trees and the area around. And that's what a lot of people are upset of is that, the beauty of the nature scenery that's around all of a sudden is now, concrete and wood. So, that's what they're getting mad at.
It's either plants or subdivision.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's no farming anymore.
Well, you come on down to the big city.
You still go down Calhoun. Yeah. You still have, once you get past my church, there's that lone farmer out there. And I still don't know how he still has his land, but he still does, raises the cows out there. I love it during Halloween. Those cows get to eat as many pumpkins as they want. So
That's where to go. But, yeah, it is growing. And, you talking about building another school. We may end up just that Greenwood becomes that 6A.
Yeah,
they put that extra A beside it, which gives them the 6A, and then you may see an Emerald go up to a 5, which I think Emerald's probably going to be set at 4 for a little while. Then you might see whoever the new – I did start to see where athletics has become a thing at the mall. They have their first teams now that are like the junior
– at Greenwood Academy?
Yeah, the smaller, fifth, sixth grade, mm-hmm. something like that. They're already doing their leagues. So what we talked about coming to fruition a couple of years ago about that school taking play, So now we really got to look at it now because within 6 years, that's a high school, man. And those kids are now playing high school football somewhere. I wonder where they're going to build their field.
Yeah.
They got to take the post office out over there across the way. Cross Creek High School. Well, there's already a Cross Creek.
Hey, you could add a bigger roof to JCPenney building and turn it into an indoor.
Well,
that's
what they're doing up at Jervie. They're raising the roof up there for a new volleyball complex at Clemson. They're taking the roof off, and we're going to add on. We're going up.
It's good to see growth. I'm like y'all are with the growth. I'm not always for it, but everybody gripes about the number of restaurants in town. And you met somebody on Saturday and Sunday because you still have wait lines at 90% of these places that you're eating at. So there's always room for banks. Now the car washes and the auto parts store and stuff, maybe not as much, but It's good to see it grow. And like I said, that'll help tremendously when it comes time for, like I said, Stan's right. I believe we'll have another high school in this town. But I think we'll have a 6A first in Greenwood, and then we'll see what they do with Emerald. Because Emerald's going to get the majority of the growth from your area, correct, Stan?
It's looking that way right now.
I'm thinking anybody right there is going to be, even in the big city of Troy, we go to Emerald too, which it wasn't that way back when I was in high school. But so you're growing. Just accept
it's getting it. Bigger. I forgot all about, guys, the Lakeland's Track and Fields was held by Emerald this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And you want the results?
Big crowd, man, yes.
All right. I'm not going to go by the individual. We'll give you the team scores. As far as the women go, Greenwood came in first. Rather easily with 188.5 points. Newberry was third. Lawrence was second. You had Emerald in at fourth. McCormick fifth. Ware Shoals was sixth. Abbeville came in seventh. You had 96th and eighth, or tied for seventh, I should say, with Abbeville. Palmetto Christian came in ninth, and Calhoun Falls came in 10th overall. And the guys' side, ranking-wise, for the Lakeland's track and field, Lawrence was first, followed by Abbeville. And then you had 96, Newberry. Greenwood was fifth. Emerald came in sixth. You had McCormick seventh, Calhoun Falls eighth, and Ware Shoals in ninth.
Just wondering how that came into fruition there. But like I said, we might not have all the events that some of the other schools do have. I would think we would, but we'll have to go back and look at what all the rankings were and who did what in each position. And like I said, we should have shot put. We should have everything. I know we got pole vault.
I've got all the results. What do you want to hear? I mean, boys pole vault?
I'm just trying to figure out how we've gone from, like, let's say number one overall when the year started, or last year, to fifth place, fourth place, whatever. That's a good thing, though, because that means teams are getting better.
Yeah.
So you got to always increase what you're doing. Give me girls' pole vault.
Girls' pole vault. All right.
Greenwood High School. Gabby Talley.
There's a high jump. She was in the high jump, by the way, too. pole vault-wise, Gabby was second. She actually tied for second with Abigail Torges and out of Emerald at 7 feet 6 inches. The winner from Lawrence was Marley Benson at 8 feet 6 inches to go along with it. Boy-wise, though, and the guys, 96 took second, third, and fourth with Aiden Walsh, Jackson Bradley, and Zachary Rhodes. Second was 9 feet 6 inches, and they kind of went down from there. But Emerald ends up winning it. Dakota Waters, guess how high? 10 feet.
I was going to say, it's up there.
So he was managed to get it up there. And then, Gabby's, of course, our favorite out of all of that. She ends up winning the long jump as well, 16 feet 2 inches.
All right, so she's running and she's doing long jump and pole vaulting.
Yep.
Coach Norman's got them stretched out too far, man. Coach, you got to recruit a little better. Take the pressure out of home, Coach.
Well, Gabby likes all of it. She likes the variety. Yeah. So she says that way I can concentrate on doing a little bit more and don't sit around quite as often.
And it was a big crowd from what I heard.
It was packed. Yeah. I mean, if you went over to Emerald High School, it was packed.
And that's what you want to see, man. We get on our listeners all the time about sitting at home watching TV. Man, get out there and whatever's going on. You see the lights on, go there. Go see what they're doing. Maybe if you don't know what's being played.
Yeah, but you think, how many – we had, 10 schools that were there overall? I mean, that's phenomenal.
And that's what I'm saying. You're talking about now, even Calhoun Falls, who was one of the teams that finishes toward the bottom, all that's doing is that's going to continue to build them up, and they're going to be the teams in third, fourth, and fifth next time, working their way to the top. And that's our coach. You know what? We joked about it when they brought in the coordinator over there that would play quarterback at Clemson. He's doing good things over there because, like I said, he's got half his family doing sports again. So Calhoun Falls is going to be a team you're going to start to see very much improve this year in all of their sports.
All right, I got to make mention of this. The 100-meter dash is everybody's favorite.
Yeah,
because it's the number one sprinting event that's out there. Carson Norman out of Abbeville, 10.99. Caleb Levi out of Newberry went 11.12, and Caden Conway out of 96 rounds out the top three at 11.14.
Not stunned by Carson at all.
So Carson's flying, man. Just moving.
Put a ball in his hand and look out.
Yeah. Then the girls did fairly well. Also, you had Kaylina McLaurin out of Greenwood, 12.57. Ends up tied for first in that one with Kamara Goodman out of Newberry. And then also Newberry, Dazee Williams ended up in the third spot at 12.94. So
that's, I mean, you're talking about.
How do you have a tie?
Well, I mean, they end up breaking it.
It's electronic timing, all right. The first person that breaks the beam's going to be number one. I mean, were they really stride for stride, inch for inch, millimeter by millimeter?
My guess is they weren't even in the same heat, is my guess.
That's probably right. Well,
I thought you ran your heats and then you had a final where the top X number go against each other, so I don't know.
Yeah, but it could come down to my stopwatch and yours.
It's electronic, brother. How slow are you? It's electronic. It's the mash of the button. It's who breaks the eye first.
It still comes down to me hitting the button or whatever. So yeah. To get it.
My former swimmers, I got to give a lot of credit because Charlie Fennell, again, ends up number one in the 16-meter run, the mile run, 4 minutes and 58 seconds, 0.72.
I got to use this for you because you get a kick. So your fish out of water is now is track star on land, man. I love it.
Track star on land,
yeah. I love it.
You got it.
I love it. Charlie, he continues to amaze because, like I said, you like to proud papa with what that man does, and you should be. Like I said, it's not – that's tough to come from just when you've been doing water most of your life and then decide, you know what, I'm going to do some other stuff.
Get out and do this, yeah. So he's tried a bunch of different other things. Post-20 baseball, guys, is just around the corner.
It's just around the corner.
If you haven't gotten to be part of it as of yet, or if you haven't registered to sign up to do tryouts, you need to go to scalb.org. That's South Carolina American League Baseball.org. It's just the abbreviation, scalb.org. I'll give you all the details. Matter of fact, Greenwood Post-20 summer schedule is out, and this looks fun, guys. Week number one, as far as the league that they're in, you got Anderson, North Augusta, Chapin, Newberry, and Easley will be in their league this year. And, of course, they're going to open up league play against Anderson on the 3rd of June, and that'll be at Palmetto High School, and then they'll come back and play in Greenwood on the 5th that Wednesday, and then they'll go back to Anderson on Friday. North Augusta on the 10th of June, they'll be down at the Horse Creek Academy. I'm going to have to find out where that is.
It's more over it's
there.
More, yeah.
I think it's probably over there around what is it, Belvedere?
Yeah, I was thinking more Aiken than
over that way.
All right, I'll have to look and see where I can find it. But then they return the favor on the 13th of June. That's a Thursday. And then you look at Chapin Newberry the 17th of June at Legion Field. Then they go to Newberry on the 19th, back at Legion Field on the 21st. And then Easley, they'll be at Seneca High School there on the 24th of June, back at Legion Field on the 26th, and then back up at Seneca on the 28th. Now, that's just league play, guys. What's coming up? There's still some games that they're going to add in there. We'll play, we'll play some tough competition over the course that'll be filled in here on some of these dates as well. So.
Yeah, look at the dates to see on possible podcast dates at different locations.
Oh, yeah.
We know Legion Field, John Nave Stadium and all. But the one that intrigues me is Chapin Newberry. Well, that's a little ways apart, is it not?
That'd be Mid-Carolina.
Okay.
Mid-Carolina.
Just call it Mid-Carolina is what you call it.
Well, when they said Chapin Newberry, that's kind of a little.
That'll be played at Newberry College is where they're going to end up playing those games. So, I mean, that'll be a fun one.
And I'm intrigued by Seneca and that one.
Yeah. It's.
And Anderson
it's easily post, but they're playing in Seneca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just.
That's what's crazy.
Maybe it's a better field.
It's the older. Well, see, Stan's going by, like, what I used to go by, like, where is Easley at? That's it. So, maybe just rename them certain things.
And we always think of the high school when we think of Easley and not necessarily the post.
Yeah.
So wherever they can get the ball field the cheapest, kind of the way it goes sometimes.
A lot of them don't have the luxury that Greenwood has.
Oh, not
right.
at all.
Right. They really don't have the ADs and coaches that Greenwood has. Let's throw that out.
Legion Field is phenomenal, a phenomenal facility. And when Lander was there after the Braves ended up leaving and they took over, they kept the field in great shape. And then, Post-20 takes over, and with the help of the Park and Rec Department, that field is immaculate. I mean, they even have it. I remember a couple of years ago they came out and they professionally leveled it. So that the whole thing was level, that because you had some high spots and some low spots in the outfield. They leveled all of that. They leveled the infield as well, brought in some new brick dust and everything to go. I mean, it was sharp last year, so it'll be just as sharp this year.
That's why I applaud Greenwood and for doing what they did. I'm just, like I said, I'm never going to get off Augusta, Georgia, giving Augusta State that field. And then you go by it now, windows busted out of concession stands and grass 75 foot tall and stuff like that. So congratulations, Greenwood, for getting that field back up right, because there's probably a Legion team in Augusta that probably could have done a better job with what they had. But now it's just a disgrace to ride through. Don't even look at it now. It's just sad because everything goes to the new stadium, mm-hmm. even though Augusta State was given the old one. So if I'm Augusta, they don't get anything else. They don't get nothing else.
Don't give them anything.
They got to buy everything else.
All right, just going to say once again, if you have somebody or know somebody that is interested in American Legion Baseball, they need to go ahead and sign up online. SCALB.org is the spot to go to. Just go ahead and follow the directions once you get there, and it'll lead you right to.
Or easy for me to hit that code.
Post-20 baseball.
Hit that code.
Hit the code and it'll take you right there. And just to what takes, what did Ty say? It takes about 2 minutes.
Yeah,
doesn't take long.
Easy sign up, man. Like I said, I guarantee you, he loves it that way too. So I'm surprised he hadn't been in last week or two. Well,
he's been busy with Gall. You know, they're going to be.
Yeah,
in
you said you saw him
umpiring,
right? So he's doing a little bit of everything for the Gall.
So he's Mr. Baseball this time.
Another reason that he knows what he's doing, his position, because he may be doing Gall now, which is what, staying 11, 12, 13, 14?
Somewhere along.
He's going to have him in a couple of years. So he's already got his wish list. He's out there umpiring. He got his counter in one hand, his wish list in the other hand. When these guys go, I can make sure these guys move up with
everybody. Seeing the future
else.
As it unrides. And that goes for softball as well. If you need to sign up, go down there as well for softball.
And we're lucky here that softball is just as strong going as baseball is. So the young ladies that are playing softball at Emerald and the Greenwood and the other places, man, make sure you get your names in and make it big, because Stan's not going to get his softball field until we make it big again. We got to make this happen.
Well, we still trying.
We keep pushing it.
Yeah, we keep pushing it.
And by the way, I cried last night on Channel 4 News. I thought about the Greenwood Grasshoppers, but Greensboro is the new Grasshoppers. So he stole my name.
Did they really?
Yeah. They're the Greensboro. They would be playing with the Drive and some of those other teams. So
well, we got that new team in Spartanburg that's going to start
up here.
That's
the Whataburgers. Yeah. We're going to have to become – hey, we could be the Cicadas if we keep getting them. You don't want a G-on-G or whatever.
We only play every 7 years.
Hey, there you go. I could be my Marlins. We only win every 7 years as a team. So, yeah, like I said, it's going to be fun. Fun season, man. But like you say, man, it comes at a good time of the year. Summertime, you know, tickets fairly cheap. Food's really cheap. Buy like Augusta National food. Yeah. And it's a good, enjoyable time. And you know what? You know where your kids are. Let's just drop it like that.
Yep.
If you're with them, you know where you're at. They're at. They're with you.
Having a good time. So. All right, we're in Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. We invite you to come on by for the daily specials during lunch. Today, the cheeseburger special with fries and a drink to go along with all that. Thursday is our favorite because it's twice baked potato with the ribeye steak sandwich. And they got specials throughout the entire week to go along with that, along with breakfast. You might run into Stan and his crew here at breakfast time.
They talk sports too, man. They talk sports.
And they get in heavy with South Carolina and Clemson. Let me just say, it's a rough crowd when you get in with those two guys up there. But it is fun to come on out. And you can check out Howard's Facebook page, Howard's on Main. By the way, it is not Howard's birthday today.
No,
it's Steve Riley's birthday today. So everybody's wishing Howard a happy birthday. I think that's hilarious.
I just went by Glenda's post. I didn't She said boo, and I thought about, well, I think a boo, it's a girl calls her boyfriend a boo or whatever it is. Jed, is Steve's how old today? You can tell it.
59.
So, there you go.
All right.
So, stop by Emerald Ink and Stitch and wish him a happy birthday.
And he's going to say, bring your wallet because he got something to say.
All right, guys. Well, let's turn towards the college aspect of it. The big Garnet and Black game ended up taking place over the course of Saturday night to go along with it. Of course, the Garnet, ends up scoring 17-0 over the Black in this one. Around almost 33,000 were there.
Good crowd
in attendance. So good crowd to go along with it. But Lenora Sellers was on the Garnet squad. Not bad. 9 of 11 for 70 yards passing, rush for 38 yards and a touchdown to go along with it. And I'm just I was impressed with what he has done. We've seen last year when he came in the game that he can throw downfield. I mean, he threw a dime into the right corner of the end zone on that one that he came in early in the season. So we know he's got that, but we didn't see him throw anything long or deep that we know of. Or maybe we missed something did go that long. But they really kept everything kind of short and mid-range.
They've got to right now because, like I said, we're going to – I think receiver is going to be a spot that we're going to struggle at this year. I think tight end we're fine, or I hope we're fine. But the main thing I really wanted to see was a running back just break out of the pack to kind of take that role. I don't think we really saw that either. But
well, you saw a solid running game, though. I mean,
it was good.
You know,
it still wasn't that – I guess I wanted one guy with a 50-yard run for a touchdown, and we didn't see that because that might mean the secondary is better. The one thing that we didn't do with this game, and I'll take the credit, the blame on this one because this is one of my team. This is my team. You had it broken down really well with who coached it and who was doing this. I didn't even worry about it. I said, because when you go to this game like I used to go to it all the time, it's about the bands playing in the backgrounds, and it's a live golf tour event at Willie B. But, I mean – you didn't have that this year. It was more focused on, like I said, Stan, we've got to have offensive line play step up, defensive line play. I think secondary played better in this game. And I think that's what was more crucial for Shane Beamer to let the secondary do what they had to do. This is the first time that a starting quarterback is going to play on the losing team because the Black won this game, right?
Or Garnet. The Garnet won this game.
So Lenoris did win. So I was thinking that the Black team won it. But so Lenoris did get the win there. And I think we're going, you know, it's just one of those. I don't like spring games just because you don't hit. There's no, you're not allowed to hit the quarterback. And I told you I was watching Miami. The only one I've really watched. Florida State is tonight. I looked it up. It's on ACC tonight. But I was really impressed with Miami because Mario Cristobal was at Oregon. I like him. He goes back home and gets Cam Ward to come from Washington State. That's the new quarterback. And I told you, there were two penalties in that spring game that wasn't called that he called himself. He brought back a touchdown and he brought back an interception because of penalties. The refs didn't see it. He saw it. He said, nope, they're not. Bring it on back. And one, I tell you, was an 80-play bomb from Cam Ward. And Cristobal said, nope, he pulled an offensive pass interference. So he did what he did. And like I said, that's pretty funny when you start seeing your coaches calling plays back and players getting mad at the coach because they scored a touchdown. But
well, you mentioned the run game. Robbie Ashford played for the Black team quarterback-wise. Didn't attempt to pass, though, but he did rush for 17 yards or minus 17 yards. That was the only blemish that they had in the run game. Other than that, Larry Scott, seven carries, 29 yards. You're 3-4 yards in a
clip.
You're getting it done in that regard. To go along with it. Receiver-wise, we weren't sure if Mazio Bennett was going to be a big factor. He ended up having two catches for 11 yards, and one of those was for a big third-down conversion to go along with it. But for the most part, Amari Higgins-Bryce had two catches for 20 yards. His were bigger plays.
You expect that. This kid's got 4 years on him at Louisville, so he's a really good size receiver. Mazio's going to do what he does. The thing about Mazio Ben, I think about, is the way that he beat Greenwood 2 years in a row with just that little, like you say, and if that's what Lenoris is comfortable with and we have to run those kind of plays to get him open to throw downfield, I'm all for it. I mean, Ashford is just a name I don't want you to ever say on this team again. Because, I mean, why we even put a scholarship on that kid from Auburn is – and how many minus yards did he have in that game? 17?
Minus 17, yeah.
Get rid of the ball, son. Don't take a sack. No. So we're not gonna call him. Where's my man Dante Reno? Where was he at, man?
Reno? hold on, I'll tell you.
If Ashford played, Reno had to play. I'm brutally honest about things. I never saw anything from Ashford at Auburn that I liked, and his coaches didn't either.
Reno was 1 of 5 for 15 with an interception.
No. He must be practicing. They must be roommates.
So, yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see. I mean, you got your guys that and I'm okay this year. I wasn't really okay with last year with Spence. He turned out to be a decent quarterback. I think a lot of people are basing everything off what Lenoris did in high school, and it's going to be a little bit different in the SEC. But we did see him come in last year, play several plays.
Why everybody got so excited about seeing him in the spring game, and I don't think he disappointed. I think fans were excited to see him play. We were just looking for bigger plays to actually happen and not – fall into a over expectations, yeah. I guess, is what I'm looking
for. And I'm good for that because, like I said, had we seen that 80-yard touchdown pass, 60 on the fly, and then the score running in from 20, I mean, that would have been super exciting to see. His brother, is he on the team this year, Sellers, or is he a senior this year?
He'll be a senior this year.
So he'll be coming in next year, but. The optimism, it's as big as it was for Spencer 2 or 3 years ago when he got the starting job. The excitement level's there. It's just I worry more about what's going to happen if we don't get some of these other kids some playing time at quarterback, at least in practice and in spring games. Because we know what happens, Stan. They're going to hit that portal and go, and we're going to be stuck with it. And like I said, we never want to see an injury happen, but with a running quarterback, that does happen, and he does like to run, and I'd like to see him just – I would be okay, actually, in the two plays that I did watch of it, just me. I'd like to see him just throw the ball away. I know it's a spring game. You want to try to make every positive thing you could have, but he lost some yards on some – they didn't call him sacks because they didn't need to sack him, but just get rid of the ball. 0-1 is a lot better than a sack or an interception. Mm-hmm. So, ways to improve, and this kid's young, and he's got the thing I like about him, Stan, is he's got the mindset to play quarterback.
Well, he doesn't seem to get rattled that easy. I mean, it's just, if he does make a mistake, it's okay, next play, coach. You know, and that's what you want. I think, you know, he's been in the program a year now, so some of the leadership qualities that Spencer had maybe rub off on him a little bit. The spring game's about building confidence in each other, confidence in, you know, it might be the third or fourth team, you know, corner or whatever, but you got to – it's just team building, getting everybody on the same page and knowing that if I'm on the field, somebody's got my back and I got somebody else's back and let's go play. So
I guess I base everything off of y'all's spring game at Clemson with that quarterback coming in and really giving Cade that push that I'm waiting to see that – have that push, and we just didn't see it in that game. But that might mean we got a guy at quarterback, so it'll be interesting.
Well, here's what Shane Beamer had to say after the Garnet and Black game, the post-game post-conference.
All right, first of all, I want to thank our fans. That was an awesome environment out there tonight, and what a spring game should be like here at South Carolina and in the SEC. So thanks to them for the turnout. There's a lot of recruits that were there tonight. Obviously, y'all, if you follow me on X, saw some great news before the game, and a lot of that was because of the environment around our stadium that they saw before the game as well. So great environment. Can't wait to see them back out here in August when we kick it off against Old Dominion. Appreciate the it was a lot of fun out there, and a reward for our players. We told our players that, you know, have fun and compete tonight, and it's a reward for them because of the hard work they've put in this spring as well. Fireworks show was awesome. Thought the field looked great thanks to the grounds crew. So really, really good night overall. Congrats to I saw Nicholas Harbor just now in the locker room, but congrats to him. I saw where he set a personal record today and ran the third fastest 100 meter time in the history of South Carolina track and field. So really, really cool for him. He's mad at me. He wanted to play tonight. Came to me yesterday, said he wanted to play, called me last night at home, or I called him to tell him I wasn't going to let him play. He's got a chance to win a championship here at Carolina and run in the Olympics, and I wasn't going to be the dumb football coach that let him go out there and pull a hamstring and cost him a shot at a championship. But super fired up for him and excited to get him back out there with us once the track season's over as well. And best of luck to our men's tennis team. I see that they're playing for the SEC championship tomorrow. So what a great run they've had in the tournament. And best of luck to those guys. Hope he goes great. It's been a great spring for us. Feel like we've certainly gotten better. And that's what I just told the team in there. We've gotten better as a team since the beginning of – or since January. And then – since practice one of the spring, there's no question we've made a lot of improvements, got a lot of work to do, but we've gotten better. Exam start next week here at Carolina. Last day of class is Monday, so we've got to finish strong in the classroom, which confident our guys will do. Got a lot of work to do, but love this group. Love the way they work. Love the way they compete. You saw that out there tonight. You know, Mickey Manwari, for example, he really hadn't practiced a whole lot the last week or so. He's just been banged up, and I wasn't sure if he was going to play, and I called him Thursday night before the radio show to make sure see if he was playing and what his mindset was, like health-wise, and we weren't going to put him out there before before he was ready, and he was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm playing." And we were hoping with a lot of our older guys just to maybe get a quarter out of them and get some young guys in there, and he's in there the whole first half competing and trying to go back in the game in the second half as well. So a lot of guys like that that love to compete, love to work, and are what we want this place to be about without a doubt. Injury-wise, luckily feel like we got out of it, you know, fairly in pretty good shape. TJ Sanders rolled his ankle a little bit on the very first play of the game. Marquis Anderson's back locked up, something he'd been struggling with. He's been beat up, whether it be knee or thigh or here in the last week or so, his back's been bothering him. And literally the first rep of warm-ups and his back locked up and wasn't able to go tonight. So we'll get that checked out next week, but don't think either one of those are anything long-term or significant. All of our other injured guys that have been out this spring or did not play tonight will be fine and good to go once we come back. Like I said, we got to finish up exams. Month of May is critical for our guys. We've got a lot of work to do. They're off, but a lot of them will stay around here on their own. And then they're back in June for summer school and full speed ahead. So again, a lot of work to do, but love the progress that we've made. And certainly another plug, I said it the other day in the press conference, but if you enjoyed the fireworks show out there just now, I'd highly encourage you to come to the Beamer Ball next Saturday night, right back here in Williams-Brice Stadium. And if you think that fireworks show was awesome, you ought to see the one at the conclusion of the Beamer Ball. So open to everyone and great fundraiser for our program and athletic department. And looking forward to being here next Saturday night for that awesome event as well.
Questions? All right, so there you have Coach Shane Beamer from South Carolina, what he had to say concerning the spring game that is there. I'm just going to nickname him Smoke and Mirrors because he ended up talking about everything else except for the game and what was going on.
I'm okay with that, man, because I'd rather be that than the positives not be there. I am concerned about Marquis because we've seen this happen to him in high school, mm-hmm. Following Marquis Anderson, and you know, we hope that everything's going to come out with it. I understand, man. It's different from a thigh to a back injury. Thighs can be a back is something that's very – I'm worried about that aspect of it. Sanders rolling an ankle, that'd be fine because he's going to have plenty of time to get it back and get it ready. Live 2 is going to be Saturday night if you want to go. and if y'all hadn't seen that, I mean, that's actually pretty good. I've seen the replays of it on the thing, and that's just where he does his little Beamer ball, kind of like Dabo's clinic and everything. And like I said, bands and fireworks, and so Live 2 is coming back to Willie B this week. Tennis team, they did what they were supposed to do yesterday. And like I said, I think they got one more match today. Girls softball did well. I'm just finishing the way he left out because
right, he quit.
baseball team took 1 of 3 against the number 2 team in the country. They were 1, and A&M routed whoever they played, and Arkansas lost 1 game to us, so they dropped them all the way to 2. But a lot of changes in the top 25 in baseball this week, Tom. My favorite team, Dallas Baptist, is now out because Louisiana Tech, your Raging Cajuns, was the team that should have dropped after losing the Coastal. They dropped my Dallas Baptist team out, so they got to come back next week strong. But overall, baseball stand from a standpoint of playing the number 1 overall team in the country, number 1 in the SEC, pitching has really held up. And you know what? I don't give Mark Kingston credit for it. Either he or whoever, Williams or Monty Lee, whoever one decided to make the 2 changes for Friday and Saturday, those are really good moves that they made. And I don't know where this Kingsley kid's been that's leading off playing center field, but he's back in the top of the lineup. Leave the kid there because he can bunt it, and he's got some crazy speed on the bases. So going against the number 1 team, they were number 2 today. I'm ecstatic we didn't get swept, and we actually could have taken 2 or 3. We just lost the 1 game on Friday night. It was a tough loss, but, I mean, we still were in the game up until the very end.
And Founders Park was packed.
That place was erupted. Because, you know, that's where they went after the.
Well, and the thing about it, too, what we've got to remember is Clemson, I think we said they were 4 this going in the poll this week. You got Coastal Carolina sitting there at, like, 15 and Carolina at 20. You've got 3 teams in the top 25 in a state as small as South Carolina is. Baseball's strong in this state. There's no doubt about it. And nowhere – you don't live anywhere in this state where you can't get to a high-quality collegiate basketball. You can't even talk. A high-quality baseball game on the weekend. I mean, they're right there around the corner. And, you know – if you like baseball, these guys are playing the game, and it's just amazing when you think of the level of play that we have in this state.
And they're still not expensive tickets like MLB. They're still fairly cheap tickets to go to games.
But now we're talking those, the big three. But now, we're here in Greenwood. You can right down the street at Lander.
Don't he fool,
you know,
man.
44 to 5, they outscored Claflin this
weekend.
Well,
I'll let you bring that one up.
Good
I wasn't going to mention that. I felt so sorry for the Claflin team. But, it's all over, and it's just a testament to the high school programs that we have in this state that we can turn out that caliber of athlete, that caliber of baseball player to go fill up these rosters on these schools.
But Lander, by the way, they'll close out the regular season this weekend. They don't have a midweek game, so they'll be at Dolney Stadium against Georgia Southwestern starting on Friday night, 6 o'clock, and then they got the doubleheader on Saturday at they're going to play Sunday. So they got 2 o'clock on Saturday and then 1 o'clock on Sunday. So not a doubleheader.
And Coach is at home in his bed, so he's happy about that.
He'll be happy about that. And then the playoffs will begin at that, so he'll get to stay at home.
This should be, like I said, I got to give Coach Berg a lot of credit, man. Going into the year, we were a little skeptical about how the pitching would play. And they've done wonders with that. They've actually kept – would you say the starters healthy or bullpen's a lot healthier than it was last year?
I'm going to – well, the starters have always remained healthy.
Right.
He's done a good job of keeping them that way. I think it's the relief pitchers that have made the biggest improvement, in whether that's staying healthy or is just the improvement coming in and not letting up.
I mean, all in all, this year has been a major success for what what my expectations were, Coach. I mean, I'll tell you, man, I wasn't sure what we were going to do because this is a tough, PBC is not an easy conference to play in, man. It's just not.
Well, you look at Lander's record overall, 35-11. In conference, they're 19-5. They're on a 14-game winning streak. Everybody knock on wood for me. That keeps going. But they're 16-6 at home, 18-5 on the road, and 1-0 on a neutral site right now. So that home win-loss record is going to be very important come playoff time.
Because of how they're playing as of right now.
Right
so,
now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and we know how Peachfield is. I mean, like it was with basketball, you win your conference, and generally you host. I don't like that. Well, I like it if you're winning, but, I mean, so we'll see how it is. I mean, we're lucky, though, like Stan said. Erskine's right up the road. I mean, they're struggling a little bit more in baseball this year, but you got a whole week to see your Backcats play at Dolney coming up midweek and the weekend series. So it
no,
should
they
be,
don't have a midweek game.
Oh, they don't have a midweek
game. No midweek game this time.
So it's just, what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Well, Friday, Saturday,
Here's the big thing. This is we get the finals out of the way, and then the kids can relax. They don't have to worry about school. So, we might – see a little uptick in the swinging of the bats. I don't know how you could uptick too much after this past weekend. But
Claflin's a band school, man. Come on. You ain't got to be as polite about it. I never knew anything but bands come out of Claflin. They good. Those bands are solid.
Erskine's baseball did it very well also here in the Lakelands. They ended up actually taking the doubleheader. They lost Friday, but they took the doubleheader on Saturday. They beat Barton 10-9 in game 2, 6-5 in game number 1. But Barton's 32-11 overall.
I was going to say,
they're a really good team. Erskine right now is at 23-20, 14-11 in Conference Carolina to go along with that. So they beat and took the series from a very good team, thanks in part to Hernandez's walk-off caps, in this series.
That always helps. So anytime you put a walk-off with it, it's, oh, man, way to end it. We were talking about them. I mean, they're right at 500 league, and they beat two or three of the number, two or three seed in that conference of the Carolina. So all in all.
They're getting hot at the right time.
They are, and that's what you got to have. Your pitcher's got to be hot. Your hitting's got to be hot. Luckily, Coach Burch got Lander rolling, and so does the coach over at Erskine.
All right, here's the standings for Conference Carolina right now. Young Harris is number one. Well, they're tied actually with North Greenville, but they don't win the tiebreaker because they beat North Greenville. Mount Olive is third, followed by Pembroke. You got Erskine there at the number five spot, followed by Barton, Emmanuel, Belmont Abbey, King, Francis Marion, Southern Westland, and Chowan.
I want you to repeat something for me, because I just thought about what we're talking about here, and I just hadn't thought of it in this line of talking about what we're doing with. Who's that number two team again?
North Greenville.
And that is a former catcher that's won. How many nationals has he won already? And there's the team that that Lander just could not do it.
Young Harris. But that was soccer-wise. Young Harris, soccer-wise, is really good.
But to be, like I said, you're competing with North Greenville, and you're a 500 in your league, and you got a team like North Greenville in this thing with Young Harris, that's playing baseball. That's solid. I had forgotten North Greenville was in that. They were in that conference. So, yep. Landon Powers doing usual things up there. And like I said, they should win this, I know they're in second place. How many games are they behind Young Harris?
Only a game behind.
Okay, so that'll be determined in the playoffs, too.
To the playoffs, and this is where North Greenville can get on any team. Get on that little run, and next thing you know, they're playing for a natty. And we've seen North Greenville do it before. And here again, that's another one of those teams. They're from South Carolina.
And we pull them.
And they seem to be at the top of the heap when you start talking baseball, and we just get them coming from every which way.
I still say, Coach Tanner, you got to see what he's done. What he's done at North Greenville, how he's continually doing it.
Well, if you want to see North Greenville play, they'll be playing Erskine this weekend. Erskine has them Friday night, Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, a noontime game on Saturday, followed by a 3 o'clock game on Saturday.
I think we ought to go over there and ask Coach.
Thinking about a 2 o'clock podcast.
Is he thinking about putting in an application for the Coastal job?
I'm thinking about, come on, Coach Tanner, we got three coaches at Carolina, none of them can get on the same page. I think Landon Powell can come to Columbia and do basically what he wants to do and free up three salaries of coaches that we don't know what to do with. I know people are tired of hearing me talk about it, but I got three coaches, and you got only one that can make the rules and who plays in lineups out. So, look, I'm happy we're still in top 25, but I'm never going to be happy until we start playing that Ray Tanner small ball again, which Landon Powell does play, by the way. So Erskine and North Greenville Friday. That's a definite set, probably. That sounds like something there. I can go talk to Landon
myself.
Something
we should do.
Landon, come here. Where'd you play college at? Does Ray Tanner know that? He's going to say, Ray was my coach. I was like, okay, well, he does know something then. So I give Ray Tanner too much grief, man. He does a decent job up there.
So, speaking of the Chanticleers, to give them props out, they had a big win over the Raging Cajuns, splitting the doubleheader on Saturday to go along and end up with the series win. They won Friday night as well. I think it was 9-1 was the final of that one. But they come back with a big win, 10-11, and they lost the following game 8-6 in that one. But for the most part,
good playing, man.
Good play all the way around. This is going to be a fun team to watch because of the way and the style that they play.
I haven't followed them like Stan. Stan trying to give coaches away. Mark Kingston's welcome to y'all whenever Gilmore leaves if you want him. I'll just go ahead and put him on the table. Then we might can do what we need to. Whoever's got tickets that's going to get that job, Stan, they are walking into a gold mine. And I would hope maybe that he's got a guy on that staff that he wants to be the head coach. That's what I would hope. Because with the players in now, the recruits coming in, they already like their coach. But if you didn't watch that series this weekend, you missed good baseball because actually ESPN had it.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that concerns me, though, with Coastal, and I know Coach Gilmore's leaving due to health concerns, but you look around at some of the bigger Division I schools and you see this transfer portal. And, that third baseman, he played 2 years at Coastal. That guy played 2 years. That guy's started at Coastal. What if all those kids had stayed down there? What could he have done if he could have just kept those players there? But, you understand they want to get up to a bigger school. But here again, he's showing you don't have to be at a bigger school to play quality baseball and play with the big boys and go up to the back road and say, come on, North Carolina, we'll play you at your place. We're not afraid.
Beat you at your place.
And beat you at your own place, you know. So,
well, Coastal's got a handful. They're going to get to go up to Omaha early here. They're going up there this week. Matter of fact, tomorrow and Wednesday they'll be taking on the Creighton Blue Jays up there. So they'll get some cooler temperatures, but they'll get to see Omaha. And you can bet he's going to take them by the stadium.
Oh, yeah. He'll ride them by the stadium.
This is where you could finish your career
and then,
at
and
right
then
here.
When we get back home, I'll show you what we can bring home when we go back out there.
So that'll be fun to watch if you're going to catch those games. But first pitch, 7 o'clock on both of those days, tomorrow and Wednesday is when they'll have it. You know, speaking of transfers, we didn't make mention of it because it all came down, and we're still sorting it out last week on Thursday, and that was with the transfer portal. We mentioned it a little bit Thursday to go along with it, but college football transfers portal reopened this week, and a whole bunch of folks jumped in it to go along. You know, South Carolina basketball, Clemson football had one or two go in there as well. But the NCAA Division I Council on Wednesday last week approved a new four-year undergraduate transfer rule that is there that basically says that a four-year undergraduate transfer student must have one of these following things. And this is what I didn't know and that I'm kind of glad I do now is, one, they can leave their previous institution academically eligible. Okay, so you got to have the grades again. Be in good standings with the previous institution, not subject to disciplinary suspensions or dismissals to go along with that. So, you know, if you get in trouble with your coach or whatever, you can't just transfer. Your coach could basically say, I'm not allowing you to do it. You know, you've been naughty, so on and so forth. And then the third thing is meet all the progress towards degree requirements at the new institution prior to competing.
I didn't know two of those, but I like all three of those, actually. I mean, we've got Josh Gray maybe at Carolina for the rest of his career, but just using him because he did jump in the portal. But
you know, but you got the flexibility, you know, if you're an athlete to do that now. But to me, it makes it, you know, it's not just everybody that does it. You know, you can't be just mad at your coach or your coach is just leaving or whatever. There's other stipulations that you've got to provide in order to transfer to a new school.
I like it. I'm going to tell you why, because more than likely last year, the one and done wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have.
Because Coach Parrish could have come in and said, look, you played for me for a year. I know you want a one and done and go, but you've got a commitment to the university and this basketball team. I'm glad it happened, but anyway, this year's a whole different rule process, so I like it. The good standing with the university and the coach is what I really like out of that whole list.
So the NCAA is getting it right, as much as we dislike some of the stuff that they've done in the past. Kind of agree with the way they're going. At least it's more than we're just going to let you go and do whatever you want.
And that's what I was worried about with it, because transfer portal already is just it's just crazy as it is. You know, I got on there and I looked at the basketball transfer portal, which is as wild as it is in football. So if you think it's not that wild, go on there and look. My mind's blown now because we signed Keeson to $725,000 for this year. And I don't even know where that popped up at. I guess I said South Carolina baseball salary and boom, it pops up. So that's $725,000 to one coach, and we got two more coaches with major college experience in Monty Lee and Matt Williams, and we're probably over $1.5 million now at least. So, like I said, Ray, we got to make a decision on our coaches. So our board of trustees, it falls on y'all.
And then Sam brought up the other aspect that the NCAA had, and that is they're going to allow, communications now?
Helmet communications in football.
Yeah.
So that's going to take your crowd right out of the ball game.
Yes, and unfortunately I watched it in that.
They're going to be, I can't hear my coach.
They'll be putting their hands over their ears so they can hear.
And when you do that, here's the deal. When you do that, that clock's going to stop because that whistle's going to blow. That's what people are going to get so tired of. I watched it in Rock's League this week, you know, UFL, whatever it is, and it happened three times there in three different games. And, I mean, it's stoppage of play. If you're a quarterback and you want to roll stand, do you even let them know that you can't hear what you're saying? Or do you say, oh, no, I got to play in my mind, and you just go up there and run your play? Then the coach is going to get mad. I didn't hear you, coach. I can't hear you. He said, well, you know, let me know you can't. Nope. I'm running my play. So you're going to get some quarterbacks that are going to say, hey, it's my show. I'm going to run the show. But I like it and I don't like it. I'd rather see it just be like it is now, hand signals from coach to player, just because I don't like stoppage of play when you're playing
Well, it takes the Michigan factor out of this, does it not?
Well, and you're right with that aspect of it. Yeah, you're right with that aspect.
Glad to have you with us once again. Finalize all of this, Chris. Anything else you got for us?
We got nothing, man. Like I said, Scotty Shuffle, you the man. At the quarter, I could have been your caddy.
Could have been. Could have ordered another couple of million.
Now she pays for me, but I didn't get it in time. That's on me.
$360,000 is not bad.
I'm going to Columbia. I'm going to Columbia. I've coached
conference event.
I've coached baseball before. I'll go to Columbia with Kingston.
All right. Get out. Check out where your schools are going to be at. A lot of things concluding this week as they get ready to head into the playoffs next week and the week after that. So best of luck to all the teams. And we'll keep following them. You keep following us. I'm Tom Carroll. That's Chris Cox. Got the coach, Dan Spivey. We are the Lakeland Sports Guys.